I was just looking at the colour blue on one of the slides there of the sky, and then there's a gold corn. And I know that I actually made the slide, but it did remind me of what Nigel was saying with the carrot and the vibrant colours. And God's creation is just wonderful and beautiful at times, isn't it? There's no denying that. Or inspiring. I think awesome's a cool young word. Is it these days? Awesome? Is it good? Oh, maybe. I'm probably too old to be cool. Do you think? I don't know. I used to hope I would be one day, but I think I've gone past that point. Okay. I'd like to start with a reading, actually. I'd like to read this to you from Isaiah, a good old prophet from the Old Testament. And he's got some fantastic words for us. An invitation, really. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. I think in one translation it says, the richest of food. There's no holding back there. God's been generous, isn't he? And it's definitely a good invitation there. And I think there's a lot of metaphors in that. Now, talk about metaphors and things. Let's go backwards on it. Does anybody recognise this? What do you think this is? Have we got any young people in? I think all the young people have skedaddled. But we've still got some youngish people and maybe some young at heart, older people. So what do you think I'm holding here? Honey, absolutely. If you actually look carefully, there's actually a honeycomb in there as well. So, very nice. Now, A.A. Milne wrote some stories about a famous bear. And you might remember, you might know more than me, Winnie the Pooh, yeah? Okay. And there is actually a particular story of Winnie the Pooh called Harvest Festival, actually. And I'll just put the honey down. I'll have that later, maybe, or do something with it, probably. We read about how Christopher Robin and Pooh try to cheer up Eeyore by encouraging him to get involved in Harvest Festival. I hope I pronounced that right, Sarah. Sarah was going on the internet and trying to find out how to pronounce Eeyore, and you were correcting me, but I couldn't see any difference from the beginning to when I finally got it. It sounded the same to me, but anyway. We all know who Eeyore is, yeah? He's a sad donkey. He's often a bit of a kind of lacklustre donkey. There you go, that's a good description, lacklustre. I like that word. Anyway, they're trying to cheer him up, and they try to get him involved in Harvest Festival. And they say, come on, you know, Harvest Festival's coming, cheer up, Eeyore, it's going to be exciting. And Christopher Robin tells Eeyore, every September people get together to celebrate the gathering in of crops. They make corn dollies, collect produce and put it on display. Then they sing about being bright and beautiful. Christopher Robin goes on to explain the idea that the thing is to give things to the less fortunate. A.A. Milne's book certainly explains perhaps part of what Harvest Festival is. But this morning, we will appreciate that there is a little bit more to it as well, as good as A.A. Milne is. And so we're going to explore that now. And Harvest Festival is actually, I was thinking about it, and a lot of these times of the year are times where we stop. You know, although life can be busy at times, we're meant to reflect. It's almost to force us to slow down, you know, in the busyness of life, and remember and be thankful for the things around us. That's particularly what Harvest Festival is around. I've got another verse here. For this is what the Lord says, he who created the heavens, he is God. He fashioned and made the earth. He founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, there is no other. So to be thankful for a creator God who created us. Often, in the busyness of life, we just get up in the morning, pull our socks on, or whatever it is, pantyhose, I don't know. But we get ready for the day ahead. And we rush through the day, don't we? Yeah? God is there all the time. Sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of this created God. He actually created us, as well as living with us by his Spirit. In his creative power, he provides a world that gives good food at harvest time. But he also gives us opportunities to live productive lives. Life to be full, free. Yeah, and awesome, that word again. Okay, he really does. Life full of opportunities to impact the world. Every moment of the day, we have opportunities. We have opportunity to experience life. We have opportunity to impact the world around us in real and meaningful ways. That's exciting, isn't it? Yeah, it really is. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that, you know? Life to grow and have opportunity to develop as well. And sometimes in spite of the circumstances we find ourselves in, you know, God can do works within us, even when times aren't easy, you know? But we can only do these things because of God, because God is the true provider. Now, one of God's names in the Old Testament, I prefer Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh is one of the old names of God in the Bible. And what it basically means is God, that's Jehovah's name, that's his personal name, or Yahweh, some people think. I prefer Jehovah. If you actually get the ancient scripts and scripture, it phonically reads that, but there is some discussion about how it was pronounced in the day. But Jehovah Jireh. And the Jireh part means the God who basically sees to it. Yeah? Or the God who provides. So the God who sorts it all out. A little bit like maybe Jill Early sorting out the soup and stuff, but a little bit bigger and a little bit more perfect, even though Jill's very good. So God is somebody who can sort things out for us. Jehovah Jireh. Or traditionally, Jehovah our provider. Yeah? It's that kind of idea. You see, it is God who provides us with hope. God provides us with power for living, even when life is tough. And it is God who, when we commit our ways to him, make our life meaningful and can give us a sense of peace. Yeah? Anybody here during the last week didn't have a sense of peace? Yeah? Life can get like that, can't it? You know, our God, Jehovah Jireh, is with us all the time. We look to him, we trust him, we follow him. He can give us peace, even when things are going difficult. Things aren't so easy. Yeah? Apologies for the first song, by the way. I think I used the traditional Songs of Fellowship. And it was the only one that I didn't check with you, Sarah. So apologies for the fur in that one. Personally, though, I actually quite like listening to the lovely, at times I just like to listen to them, to the musicians. So at least myself, I didn't spoil the sound of that. I actually enjoyed the music. But yeah, here are some other ways that God can bless us as well. You know, God can bless us with family. Yeah, he can. He really can. You know, they say you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And, you know, you are blessed if you've got a loving family around you. Yeah? That can be a real blessing. God can bless us with friends as well. You know, in the Bible, it calls the fellowship of believers, that's you and me in Christ, the beloved. That's wonderful, isn't it? The beloved. I remember when I first became a Christian, one of the things that really struck me, I was 19 years old, coming from a very, very different kind of rough background, where even you couldn't even trust your friends, really. Yeah, you could probably trust them as far as you could throw them. Okay, but when I became a Christian, I realised that these people were actually for me, and they were for each other. and you could be open with them, you could be honest with them. And you know, it's true. In God's family, we have friends. We can have friends outside of God's family as well. But you know, it is true. It's a beautiful thing when God's people live together in peace and harmony, you know, supporting each other and loving each other. Wonderful thing. God can bless us with time as well, like I mentioned before. The time we have, moment by moment. How often we don't appreciate that? I know I don't. You know, I rush around at times, and Sarah can tell you, rush around like a headless chicken at times, trying to get things done. Yeah? We need to slow down at times, we really do. Time is precious. And you know, we can do wonderful things with it as well, as we'll see later on. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves that time is precious. It's a gift from God. It really is. God is very patient, it says in the Bible. Yeah, God is long-suffering with us. And God is wanting all of us to come to a point and develop our walk with Him, to become closer with Him. And, you know, we can impact others along that way as well. And time is a wonderful part of that, the time that God gives us. These fruit and veg at the front look pretty impressive, don't they? They look pretty good, they do. I particularly like the corn thing. I think that's really good. I think it's actually not one of the salty ones. It's actually edible, isn't it? I was asking somebody. So it's going to be eaten later on. I definitely would be in for a slice of that if it's going. But the thing is, if they're not eaten, they will decay, won't they? Yeah. And even if it's in cans, they will go out there sell-by date. It's just really the way it is. But God's love, you know what I'm going to say, God's love never stops, never perishes. It is eternal as it is ridiculously generous. And that's what we remember at harvest time. The most generous thing God did, though, is not seen in a food display as good as it is today. One of Billy Graham's favourite Bible passages was John 3:16, the classic one. He gave his only son that whosoever believed in him will not perish, but will inherit eternal life. So there you go. God is giving in very nature, but at the core of it, at the heart of it, we see that expressed perfectly in the giving of his son and his life. And notice on that picture, we've actually got the stable depicting where Jesus was born. That itself was a sacrifice. God becoming human, you know, the eternal Logos, Word of God, becoming in human form, living amongst us and showing us the way. You know, I don't think it was always easy, was it, for Jesus? I think he cried a few times, you know. Does say in the Bible he cried at least once. I'm sure there were other times as well. Sacrifice that God gave for us. He's a giving God. Hallelujah. And when God gives us newer life, he says, live it to the full. He's generous with that. He invites us to not just live it, but make sure you be very careful about things and don't enjoy yourself too much. No, I don't think he says that, does he? He says, live life and live life to the full. Live life to the best. So God's generous even with that. That does not mean it's always easy, though, does it? No. But rather that God's life, the life that God gives, is fulsome and truly good. Anybody read John Bunyan's book, The Pilgrim's Progress? Yeah? There's part of it, Vanity Fair, where Pilgrim and a few others go along, and basically everything looks good, or it looks shiny and exciting at least, okay, on the surface. But basically there is no lasting goodness to be had at all. And beneath that shiny facade is the sad reality of emptiness and even worse things as well. But that's not what God gives. That maybe is what the world gives. You know, I've lived that, and many of us here know what the world's like out there without Christ. And one thing I remember vividly when I was about 17, 18, I started to go and visiting taverns and pubs and things. Taverns an old word, isn't it? And quite young, and I was 17 about. And I remember even then thinking, do you know what? This is all hollow and false. There's no real substance to it. It's always the same. There's no real life there. And that was just before I was even beginning to read the Bible. I think God was stirring my heart. And then the Bible showed me another way. Really did. It's true. For those of you who have experienced that, looked to the other side of life, haven't lived the whole life in church, you will know exactly what I mean. And those of you who have lived your life in church, you know, the world is out there, isn't it? All of us know what the world is like. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves how good it is in God's house, in God's family, with God, with us. So praise God. Praise God. You know, as well as being generous, he cares deeply about us as well. Do you know that in the Old Testament, there were some rules for how God looked after or wanted God's people to look after the poor? Yeah. And that is depicted, particularly expressed in the story of Ruth. There was a rule that God's people were meant to follow, whereby the rich people who owned fields with corn and wheat and things, when it came to harvest time, would actually not harvest all the way. They would actually leave the edges for the poor. And also they would allow the poor to follow behind the harvesters to glean. And that's exactly what Ruth did. Ruth and Naomi went to where the Jewish people were. And she was new there and she was very poor. And they didn't have much going for them. And she had to glean herself with God's people. And there's a picture there of her gleaning some wheat. And God provided for her, if you know the story, wonderfully. He didn't just provide her with wheat, he provided her with a lovely, loving and caring husband, Boaz, as well. Just to mention, Ruth, of course, the Bible is wonderful how it weaves things together. And Ruth actually was not Jewish originally. She was actually a Moabite. But she actually is the great-grandmother, I believe, of David, if you look at the genealogies, one of Israel's greatest kings. So it's wonderful how God uses people who you wouldn't even expect to be used. So wonderful story there of care. Okay, so God puts these stories into the Bible and our memories for a reason. So Ruth is provided for abundantly with a generous and caring God, always implied in the background, even if it's not specifically mentioned. God is there. She actually becomes the great-grandmother of David, like I mentioned. But what about us? What about us in the days ahead? What stories of generosity and hope and love is God going to weave into your lives and our lives? I think we're definitely going to have enough air today in the church. So I don't think I did that, although I was pointing at that time. But really, you know, what stories is God going to create in your life, you know, of grace, compassion, love and provision? He can and he will. The fields are white unto harvest. God calls us to go out and to gather a spiritual harvest. He wants us to join in with this story, you know? In confidence, in power, in trust. Trust because, well, you know, we are not called to walk alone. God walks along with us by his Holy Spirit. Trust because God is good. And, you know, he equips and he provides for his people. Trust because God places his people in the right place at the right time. And trust because by following God's Spirit and his word, you really can't go wrong. So God provides a lot. He really does. We need to trust him. We need to keep on the right path. For Christopher Robin, and Pooh, their aim was to cheer up Eeyore. Yeah? Have I pronounced that right, Sarah? Okay, just get on with it, she says. Okay. For us, unless we have a sad donkey to cheer up, it means taking time out and being thankful that God is with us, that he blesses us in so many ways, moment by moment. Be cheerful for that. God does bless you. Even now, the chance to appreciate God's goodness, the chance to turn towards God and to reflect that goodness into a world that needs to see it more. That's a good opportunity. An eternity impressing opportunity that we all have. You know, God blessing us so much and so abundantly. You know, sometimes, do you ever just want to just praise God? I mean, I know week by week, sometimes we have quiet weeks. But, you know, sometimes just shout it from the rooftops, you know? I think there's a song there, isn't there? That I think there's one of the, I think it's Jesus Culture. It's quite one that I listen to a lot. And it's got a song about shouting it from the rooftops. And wow, you know, at times when we consider these things, then we want to do that, don't we? Maybe we need to consider these things more. Maybe that's part of the message today. Okay, going back to honey, there you go. Now, where do you think this is going to go now? Yeah? Because God places us, he said. Yeah, it's to grow in him, it's to worship him, it's to love God, learn more about him. But it's also to make a difference to those around us as well. So of course, I'm going to put it with the rest of what everybody else has given as well. So here we go. Hopefully we'll find a happy poo. Or somebody who likes honey. Okay, let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your message to us. Thank you for the life of your son, Jesus, and the life of all those people in the Bible that you show us your ways by. Lord, help us. Help us to ever more trust, ever more closely in you in the days ahead. Help us to appreciate just who you are and what you have to offer, day by day, moment by moment. Help us to make good use of the time. Help us to be instruments of blessing as well as we are blessed by you. Help us to be instruments of blessing to those around us. We thank you for the opportunity to join in your kingdom work. We thank you for harvest. We thank you for this time. Lord, we also remember this morning those who are maybe struggling among us. And we pray for those that perhaps are ill at the moment or are going through difficult times. And we pray that you would bless them and reach them and support them by your Holy Spirit. And let them know joy in their heart, even if they're going through a difficult time. But we know, Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh. You are God, our provider. You are also God, our healer as well. Hallelujah. Amen.